SiriusXM Sports presents
At the Races with Steve Bick.
Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back. Hour three. Been a fast-moving Friday, and even though it's a weekend preview that is lacking previews of probably three races that are as much a Saturday favorite as there is on the calendar, the Bluegrass Wood and Santa Anita Derby, still certainly plenty of things to talk about, and Jay Pribman joins us at this hour for Derby Watch conversation. Jay, good morning.
Hello, Stephen.
Everything okay?
Oh, you and Ann? Andy out here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Couldn't be better.
We were holding out hope that we knew the wood was scuttled and bluegrass, but boy, Jay. This week, I mean, it just feels like, the vindictiveness involved with Santa Anita being forced to close and now Cal Expo and Golden Gate, it really leaves a really sour taste.
I mean, who could have predicted more than a year ago when we discussed this on your show that allowing animal rights people a seat at the table might not turn out well?
Exactly. Well said. Well said. It's amazing because in the places where racing is continuing, officials, government officials and health officials, I think basically appreciating what's gone into this and, the eagerness to interfere with other people's livelihoods that aren't hurting anyone. I can't imagine going through life having that mentality. It's to me, it's just disheartening as can be.
No, I don't get it either. It's I think you used the right word opening the segment when you called it vindictiveness. I think that's an accurate. It's an accurate portrayal. And just the glee with which the celebratory posts from that quarter were on social media regarding what they had done just betrays what their mindset is and their vindictiveness. So, like I said, not unforeseen by people who, have seen how they operate going back to, the dishonest, edited, misinformed, purposely inaccurate video that was made regarding Steve Asmussen.
Yep.
I mean, you can go back to something like that and just draw a line from that to today. And so, shame on those who didn't heed the many, many warnings of what the fire you were playing with.
Yep, inviting. Well, meanwhile, to the credit of horsemen and stakeholders and horse players and casual fans, so many people doing whatever it is they can do to help and to alleviate strain. We've talked on so many different levels this week and last week with the aftercare elements. We had John Phillips and Jen Reutz this week, and Keith Shamblin joined us in advance of the very productive and helpful teleconference from NTRA horsemen and agricultural you know, racing equine interests, the avenues that they have to gird themselves during this circumstance. And when it comes to the racing side, Jay, let's address your piece from Wednesday and horsemen that really do not have any firmament when it comes to plotting their course to a potential September Derby.
Right. So that was what I wrote about for the Derby Watch piece that came out the other day. And really the essence of it is just that everybody's kind of flying blind because what tomorrow would have been, as you were alluding to at the start of the segment, the Santa Anita Derby, the Bluegrass and the Wood, all are, you know, at best postponed to dates to be determined, if not probably outright canceled in, you know, at least some of those instances. And the trainers who had been pointing for those races don't know when they're going to be run. And so I spoke to John Sheriffs and Bob Baffert and Peter Erton and also Brendan Walsh about just sort of what they're, you know, how they're approaching things, not just in terms of their Derby horses, but really all their horses now, because you don't know what, you know, in the case of Brendan Walsh, who has horses at Keeneland, he doesn't know when racing's going to get going again in the state of Kentucky. And you don't know, as he put it, whether to, you know, to crack on with them as though, you know, you might get an opportunity in a few weeks and you need to be ready or you need to back off. In the case of the guys out here, and the, you know, Erton, for instance, he had already decided that Storm the Court wasn't going to run in the Santa Anita Derby. So he and Sheriffs and Baffert are looking at Arkansas for horses who they want to run now. But, you know, because the Derby's been postponed to September 5th, there's less urgency to have to run now. I mean, obviously, if you have a horse who's ready to go and he's sitting on go and there's a race for him, you better do it because who knows what else might come. You know, we're just all kind of flying blind here as we see the walls close in. So if you have the opportunity, you want to take it, but if you don't necessarily have to, you don't necessarily have to run. It's not as though the Derby's 4 weeks away now and you need to get that final prep in. So they're just sort of trying to navigate that. And, you know, the unfortunate thing for them and everybody else is they don't know what they're dealing with on a day-to-day basis. You know, a little more than a week ago, they thought the guys out here thought they'd have a Grade One Santa Anita Derby to be running in. You know, now they're looking at what other options are there, and you know, it's pretty much Oaklawn for the next few weeks. And in terms of if you're looking for Derby type horses, and then who knows after that?
Well, that's what we have to kind of wait and see, and let the calendar be, you know, refreshed and generated in whatever direction it's going to be. You know, meanwhile, Jay, how good is Tis the Law, and is he dotting the I's and crossing all the T's?
Well, I mean, you know, obviously his race the other day was quite good. You know, he was much the best in the Florida Derby. You know, the thing I've written about, and that I'm still, you know, concerned about, and would be if the Derby was now just 4 weeks away, is that he really doesn't appear to be comfortable when he's inside. They ride him as though they want to get him to the outside as quick as possible. Even the other day, you know, when Etay Indien crossed over in front of him, they got him to the outside, and that's what you want to do. I mean, why wouldn't you want to put a horse in a tracking perfect trip position? But it looked to me like there were a couple of horses who might have been able to make life a little bit uncomfortable for him early on who didn't choose to slam the door on him. And in his previous race in the Holy Bull, he was wrestled back to get outside. And when he was inside in the Kentucky Jockey Club, he didn't really finish up the race that well. And I know there's a lot of debate over how he was ridden that day, but you know, my position is that he had every chance the final 3/16 of a mile, and he just didn't look like he wanted to go through there. Now, there were other mitigating factors that day. It was run under the lights. That might not be a an issue on Derby Day. It was run on and off track. That could be an issue on Derby Day. You never know. But it was run at Churchill Downs, and that will be a factor on Derby Day. And so that's the one aspect of his game that at this point concerns me. You know, if he drew, let's say hypothetically the Derby was 4 weeks away, if he drew a box where it looked like he'd get a perfect stocking trip like he did in the Florida Derby, then, you know, to me he'd be a major win candidate. But if he had drawn inside, you know, I think there would have been a question as to whether he'd perform as well, because he really got a perfect trip the other day. So, you know, I like him. I mean, look at all the good races he's run. That race, the Holy Bull, Champagne. Yeah. But all of those races, he's gotten into a spot where I think he could shine. I think having the extra time actually gives his connections a chance to potentially work out that one, you know, potential flaw that he's got in his makeup. And I have tremendous respect for Barkley Tagg and Robin Smullen. I mean, they're outstanding trainers. And I think that, you know, they've got a chance now to, with more time, to make him even better than he already is. And the thing I wrote in my analysis the other day about the race, Steve, is that, you know, that's the only thing that concerns me about him. There are a lot of others in this crop who have a lot more to worry about. So he's on balance. He's certainly far ahead of most, if not all, of this group. That's just the one. You know, if you're, and I'm, you know, being a little nitpicky, but that's the one aspect of his game that would concern me if the Derby was May 2nd. But it's not, and so we'll see what develops over subsequent months as to how he, you know, progresses.
I really sensed the conversation. I don't know if you had a chance to listen to Barkley on Monday with us, Jay. First of all, it's so much fun to talk to him now, and to see him at this undisclosed age, which we've all been instructed not to bring up. It's really wonderful. And, you know, here's somebody who was kind of a horseman's horseman for years and years and you know, wins this Derby. And then I think everybody assumed, well, you know, this was happenstance and a confluence of, you know, unforeseen events, New York bred gelding. But all this is just really further confirmation that he is one of his generation's best horsemen. And somebody that can really perform with any kind of horse.
Definitely. I mean, I think anybody who knows his record over all these years that he's done this, you know, hopefully would recognize that. He's had a great career, and he can train any kind of horse. I mean, obviously he can train a young horse who can develop into a Kentucky Derby contender and win major two-year-old races, you know, like Tis the Law or Funny Side, but, you know, he's trains long-distance grass horses and, you know, things of that nature. I mean, he's done it all over the years, you know. And he's had, you know, he's had more than just those couple of Derby contenders that we were just alluding to, you know, like Funny Side and Tis the Law. You know, Showing Up was a top horse, No Biz Like Show Biz, you know, for instance, and he's won just so many major races throughout his career, both, you know, turf, dirt, long, short, and shipping too. You know, he's coming out to California and winning races like, you know, like the Hollywood Derby and stuff like that. Right. So he's, you know, he's had a heck of a career.
Very much, very much. And I sense too that, you know, he feels very comfortable, you know, keeping this horse, you know, on a treadmill and just, you know, gearing him down and then back up as the schedule would seem to dictate. Meanwhile, Jay, let's look at and touch on those conversations that you had and among them with Peter Urton and Bob Baffert and Bill Mott. Your thoughts about how things are going to arc toward the Derby at Tot Springs at Arkansas Derby, and you know, how much participation to expect from you know, really all points on the compass.
Yeah, I think you'll see a lot of participation. I mean, obviously you've got horses that are based there that are pointing for that race already. But you've also got a lot of guys now who are potentially going to ship in. You know, Sheriff said that he's certainly considering that for Honor AP now. Baffert has always had that planned for Nadal, but it wouldn't surprise me if he decided to run, you know, another horse or two in there. And then you've got guys who are coming out of the Louisiana Derby who are kicking tires on that race, like Brad Cox and Mott. And as we were saying earlier, Burton's looking at that race for Storm the Court. You know, the other thing, too, don't forget, the Arkansas Derby was a few weeks ago was postponed by Oaklawn. They pushed it back to May 2nd, so it's now the date that the Kentucky Derby would have been. But because they did that, they flip-flopped the dates of that race with what was
right.
called the Oaklawn Invitational, is now called the Oaklawn Stakes, and that's going to be run a week from tomorrow. And I think you'll see, you know, number of horses. Now, it's not a point-scoring race, but I think you'll see some horses run in there that could potentially come back in the Arkansas Derby as well. Like, you know, for instance, Tayshaun for Baltus, I think will end up in that race. And then, you know, he could potentially come back. So, there's a lot of horses that are looking at that. And then, you know, the other possibility too, though, is that there are some trainers who, like in the case of Tis the Law, you know, he's not going to go on for that race, and they're just going to back off right now and just try and come again when we know what the prep schedule is going to look like leading up to a September 5 Derby.
And I also saw where earlier in the week Mike Welch reporting that King Guillermo now looking at it, and Sol Vellante as well.
Yeah, we've had that in Derby Watch for a couple of weeks, but yeah,
right. Yeah. So it'll fill and then some, and it gives everybody something to look forward to, and hope that things, you know, continue. And then at that point, I mean, we get it, you know, through April, Jay, and you hope anyway that some of the plans have some firmament, in terms of ovals getting going and, whatever's going to happen in Kentucky in terms of a spring schedule. And I'm sure Churchill in ongoing conversation with with Naira and with Astronic Group, and trying to figure out where these new point races are going to manifest themselves.
Right. No, you hope that things can cycle back to some semblance towards normalcy, but I think as we've seen and we are continuing to see, trying to predict anything right now is kind of foolish. Or naive would probably be a better word. Because there's just way too much uncertainty right now, and until things are trending better in terms of health situation across the continental U.S., they're not going to be in a position to move forward, and that's why it's just incumbent upon people to be smart, and those who are not being smart to start being smart.
Well, meanwhile, there is a Derby later this evening. It's at Randwick, and it's the Bentley Australian Derby, and
it's gonna be the best one ever.
Can't wait. And then later, you can look forward to the Doncaster Mile and the T.J. Smith Stakes as well. Well, there's like water seeking its own level, Jay. Horse players gonna play horses.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm glad there's action for them, and there's some action still in the U.S. and, as you mentioned, overseas. And so, fire up your DRF Bets account and have at it.
Exactly, Jay. Best wishes for the weekend, and we'll check in and probably look at that Oaklawn Stakes next week and see what's going to be different for a week from now at we've all got to oil up the shortstop glove and field whatever gets hit at us.
Exactly. All right, Steve, have a good weekend. Stay safe.
You too. Jay Pribman, everybody. DRF Pribman and all the staff. We talked earlier to Mary Rampolini and Mary handling her region. Dave Grenig on top of the news and Matt Hegarty. And, in fact, yesterday, Hegarty filing the story in response to the plea deal. The plea, not deals, but the pleas of the indictment, next steps. They had been put off until yesterday, so not guilty pleas filed by those indicted. We'll see what's next in that as next week unfolds as well. Let's take a break. Ed DeRosa standing by. We didn't get a chance to talk to Ed last week, and we'll see what he has spent the week doing. And, of course, taking care of the kids in part. But Ed DeRosa joins us next. Weekend preview at the races. Stay with us.
The latest racing news. It's at the races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Developed by Horsemen, Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, environment-friendly, paperless revolution of how equine industries bill and receive payments. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for each horse, whose owners can pay through the same website with just one click. Say goodbye to stacks of invoices, handwritten checks, and postage costs. Easy accounting for all parties with the highest online security measures. Get started free at Horsebills.com. Simply register with your name and email address. Free to sign up. No subscription fees to vendors until the first invoice. Voices sent. For owners, you get a free account, comprehensive dashboard with information on all horses owned and billing records, ACH and credit card payment options. For vendors, generate invoices efficiently and receive payments quickly from both owners and other vendors. Syndicate and partnership managers get flexible billing and payment options to both vendors and syndicate members. For more info, call 888-938-4643, 888-938-4643, or log on to horsebills.com. That's horsebills.com.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
DRF Sports Forum Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Forum delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsforum. Enter code DRF Sports. No.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Took a trip on a bus that I didn't know. Met a girl selling drinks at the disco. Said truth comes back when you let it go. Seem complicated because it's really so simple. Walking down Young Street on a Friday. Can't follow them, gotta do it my way. No fast lane, still on the highway. Moving in and out, no doubt there's a bride.
No time to get down, cause I'm.
We love it. Crab Bucket. From Goss. And very catchy. Very catchy. I do see, I do see some sad news. Case, Bill Withers passed away. So well, too bad. Next week we'll slip in some Bill Withers. It was terrific. Yeah, that's tough. And you know, yesterday I saw it as we were wrapping up. Ed Farmer dying in Chicago, and I've got a very I wouldn't have time for it now, but I've got a very funny Ed Farmer story. he was terrific. He was a terrific pitcher himself, but then a terrific broadcaster on the South Side. And really too bad. Now, of course, Ed DeRosa, Ed's an Indians guy, but I'm sure you must have heard some Ed Farmer over the years, Ed.
I'm sure I have. Have to admit, I guess didn't make an impression. I'm not as familiar, but
oh, he's good. He was good, good broadcaster. White Sox, the White Sox faithful. I mean, adored Ed Farmer. Yeah. Who was
Tom
who was
Hamilton
the,
for me?
I was gonna say who's the who did you grow up with?
Herb Score was
Herb Score.
I mean, in my young days, and you know, it's funny, you get older. I mean, you especially, I'm just of the age where there was still, you know, local TV had some prominence. I mean, my kids really, I don't think, will know what it was like to rely on a local UHF station for, you know, localized entertainment and things like that. But you know, the Indians broadcaster on TV was a guy named Jack Corrigan. And, you know, you think, man, what a job. This guy's calling games. And he was a teacher at St. Ignatius and wide receiver coach for the football team. And, you know, you think of a local affiliate, you know, at the time it was just like, man, that's the job. What a gig. And, I mean, he was probably paid peanuts. I mean, I got to go to the games for free, obviously. But, I mean, he had another full-time job that wasn't even his full thing. So, you know, it's amazing how that sort of changed over the years. But Tom Hamilton, certainly, you know, to me, I mean, pretty much, I think I won a World Series for him as much as I do for me and my mom.
Well, and when I can recall as a kid, and I was an insane, you know, transistor radio dial spinner, and the, you know, the collection of, you know, 50,000 watt superstations that, you know, particularly in the Midwest. And I don't, it's 3WE, right?
Now it's WTAM. I forget why they changed their call letters, but yeah, they were the monster on the lake, 38 states and half of Canada.
Yeah. And 3WE. And of course the big one, WLW and, WOWO in Fort Wayne. I mean, when I was selling for Proctor and driving the Midwest, I mean, you literally, I mean, you could hear, I became a Reds fan. And, so, you know, virtually anywhere you could pick up Joe and Marty, on WLW. And, but I would, you know, I mean, Herb Score, absolutely. And Nev Chandler.
I don't remember, you know, I honestly don't remember who was with Herb before Tom Hamilton took over.
I think Nev Chandler and Steve Lamar. And, I mean, these are just, it's just amazing that these names and the voices, they stick in your head. And Pittsburgh too. I mean, you know, Pittsburgh, to hear the Pirates broadcast, and there was no doubt about it. The Buccos could rally from six down, and there was no doubt about it.
it's amazing. I mean, this is just another one of the parallels between racing and baseball. I mean, we all know the voices we grew up with calling a race, and same with baseball. And, you know, there's lots of other parallels with rotisserie type stuff and box scores and charts, and it's it's incredible, these two pastimes, some of the parallels.
Well, we didn't talk last week, Ed, so we can get a quick review from you. You know, we obviously have an intermezzo here when it comes to the three-year-old action. This should have been a day where, you know, you were coming up with outrageous 30-1 shots in the Bluegrass Wood and San Anita Derby. So give us your Louisiana Derby and Florida postscript.
I thought it was, the winners were impressive. I think it's fair to wonder with, Wells Bayou, already were enough out, a lot's going to change. It's not like the race is 4 weeks anymore, but, certainly seems like there's some speed signed on to this group. But the number came back pretty good for Wells Bayou, and, they're going to have some time to plot how they want to train this horse and the type of race they think can win the Derby. Tis the Law, I had him high up pole-wise. I mean, he's truly showing himself as a talent, which is exciting. I keep trying to beat him. I mean, short price this time of year. In retrospect, and Anthony Sabila and I talked about this yesterday, I'm not saying I would have bet him at 6-5. I really thought he'd be odds on, and he wasn't. If you were a fan of his, that was probably a fair enough price to take in the win pool. And as the board ended up shaking out, I was on some others, but I don't think there was a lot of value, even if you opposed them. The alternatives, weren't great prices either. But you spice things up underneath. It was sort of like last year, the favorite obliged, as Dooley would say, and a bomb completed the exacta. So kind of interesting we've seen that profile 2 years in a row in the Florida Derby. But I have Charlatan number one, just because now Bob has more time, and Charlatan has just been awe-inspiring when you watch him run. But obviously he's going to have to prove it at stakes level, which Tis the Law already has done. And I think those top two are really exciting going into the summer, which hopefully we'll have some racing to look forward to into the summer.
Well, exactly. And we started the morning talking to Scully and discussed this next round of Kentucky Derby future wagers. And I guess I sort of agreed with you, Scully suggesting that he didn't think that the all others made a lot of sense. He said that you thought that it did, and I would tend to agree. I mean, how could it not at this point? I mean, there's got to be horses out there right now that, that are marginal candidates that we're going to be, look back and say, look at this crazy horse that hadn't been better than sixth in a prep to this point.
Yeah, no question. And I mean, this is 5 months out is the equivalent of December in a normal year, so to speak. But now you're adding more of the crop that's going to have run by the end of April. Now there's less racing, too. So, even if a horse debuts and it's a monster effort, you have to wonder about how much seasoning they're even going to be able to get in leading up to September. But, they've drawn the line in the sand that if the race is run in 2020, these bets are action. And with all that's going on, it's certainly not out of the question the race could be moved again. I don't see how you don't take the field at even money or better. So we'll see what money actually goes into the pool. I know psychologically people would rather bet a single horse. That's exciting. It's easier to say you were right if you're on a specific horse and they do well. But between the uncertainty and just this group as a whole, there's a few I certainly have a lot of respect for. But from a value perspective, I don't see how you don't have half the gate with the field 5 months from now.
Right. Well, and then among the individual entries, who do you think represents a value potentially here?
I haven't given up on Storm the Court yet. The Breeders' Cup juvenile form certainly is not inspired. But the reality is the number from that race was pretty consistent across all services and fast. Fast enough that you can build off of from 2 to 3. So given that, he hasn't won, and I know some of the shine's off, but, he has some points. I'm not sure what they're going to do, in the summer with if they're going to be points races or what, but any type of good performance in a prep for the Derby, I think would get him in the gate. So I just haven't given up on this horse, and he's shown he's run fast enough. And, you know, between him not winning and the form of the Breeders' Cup not coming back gangbusters, I just think there's some opportunity here on a flyer and a horse who at least has shown an ability to top that triple digit, whether it's Brisnet or Bayer. And, you know, he's been fast on Thoroughgraph as well. So it's enough to like at a big price.
You know, and one exercise, Ed, that we might suggest to everybody, you know, it's funny, I had Javier earlier today, and we talked about Travers and his six wins. And, you know, here's a look at which is, you know, the one thing we've got as an equivalency right now would be the history of the Travers. And so listen to this list of winners. Code of Honor, Catholic Boy, West Coast, Arrogate, Keen Ice, VE Day, Will Take Charge, of course, the Dead Heat of Alpha and Golden Ticket, Stay Thirsty, A Fleet Express, Summer Bird is the first horse you come to 11 years ago that was a major, I guess Stay Thirsty was okay in the Triple Crown season, but Summer Bird is the first name, and then Colonel John, Street Sense, Bernardini, Flower Alley, Birdstone. My point is, in the modern history here, take a look at those charts from the Travers and try to figure out who is a similar horse right now and who projects from where those horses were in, you know, in early spring. And how they got to where they got. And that's what you're looking for on this list for Sunday night.
And agreed. And part of that for me with, you know, the Travers sort of being a parallel with its typical place on the calendar is carrying 126 going a mile and a quarter in May is a lot harder than with 4 months of muscle build and training, et cetera. And, you know, the Derby, you know, Justify finally broke the curse, but, you know, typically we like to see the two-year-old form. You know, you need a pattern. It used to be three preps for the Derby. Now it's two. I have absolutely no interest in a horse who had one prep. And that's why I, you know, never gave Maxfield the time of day if the race were still in May. But now, I mean, I'd be shocked if half the field has more than one prep going into this Derby, you know, for various reasons. So it's a totally different race from that standpoint. And the Travers does fit that profile because we do see horses come back from the Triple Crown. They run in the Dandy or the Haskell and then run in the Travers. So I would think that's going to be the typical profile going into this race.
Well, and you look, I mean, West Coast is a great, you know, I think people forget our tendency is to talk about Justify and Arrogate, but West Coast debuted on February 18th and broke
wow.
his maiden, it broke his maiden
yeah,
March 12th. Then he was second in the Lexington on April 15th. He won an allowance at Santa Anita on May 20th. He won the Easy Goer in June 10th, Belmont Day. Then he went home and won the Los Al Derby before winning the Travers and the Pennsylvania Derby and finishing third in the Breeders' Cup Classic.
Mm.
Pretty interesting.
Yeah, that's a year.
Jesus. Let's, Ed, I'm going to run it. We're going to run out of racetrack. This has been fun, though. A couple of plays for tomorrow.
Don't have anything for tomorrow, but I'm chock full today. I'll go
okay,
through a
cool.
lightning round. Gulfstream in the opener, love a couple prices. I think either 4 or 8 have a chance to be prominent early in either stock and pounce or maybe one of them even down the front end. But they're 20 and 15 to 1 morning line respectively. So I'm looking to blow up that pick 5 early. And then in the nightcap, number 5, Laska, 6 to 1 on the morning line. Just kind of run evenly, but lots of wide trips. And this one's running line now gets Joe Bravo in a long line of new riders. This one's had throughout his career. Maybe that does the trick. I certainly think he fits with the rest. Just one of those needs the lucky break, but at 6 to 1, I think we're being compensated for that. At Oaklawn Park, Race two, I'm not sure if you've talked about this on your show, Steve, but I know there's been some chatter among my friends about what people are doing claiming-wise. And I thought this was interesting that Hartman drops this horse down to 10. But what's the upside if you claim him? You don't really know whether you're going to be running in a month. So I'm just kind of feeling like Chris knows the condition book and just seems like there's not a lot of risk on the drop here, whereas normally it'd probably be a 20-way shake for this horse. But 8-1 morning line, probably won't get that. But number 5, Junior Gillum, I thought is worth giving a mulligan off that last one, which wasn't great. And then I don't think we'll get 7-2 in race 7 on number 7, Fully Aware, but it's a fun race to watch because a pretty cagey claim that Sadler made for Ronis Racing. 130,000 maiden, debuted for 50 for the Cox Barn, and ran off the screen at 6-5. So Sadler saw some talent, and now they get to run in the starter allowance right back. I mean, 7-2 is a pipe dream, but, you know, even 2-1, I think, is enough to take on this horse against this field. So eager to see how that one runs. That's number 7 in race 7.
Fully Aware. And Junior Gillum. And that's a good point about the claiming environment, undoubtedly. And you don't have a play at Randwick?
I don't, but we do have, we've been working with an Australian team, actually, and I know they're going to have some plays up tonight. They're keyed up to get some home cooking.
I love it. And, of course,
tune in for that. And we talked about I'm on the field in the future wager.
Well, and free free PPs for Australia at
that's Brad. Right. Yeah. Yeah, free.
That's a good price
for me. and that race 7 at Oaklawn is our bet back of the day too. So if you bet my pick or yours or whatever and lose, you get $10 back.
Very nice. How are the kids? Everybody staying busy and happy and healthy?
Yeah, trying to. So far, so good. You know, I think blessed the twins have each other. I've heard from some parents of only children who are having a rougher go. So yeah, that's been good for them.
Good. All right. And EJ is all right?
Yeah, he's doing well. We're keeping him safe and isolated.
Good job. All right. Well, Ed, enjoy the weekend. I know you'll take full advantage of what we've got out there, and what we've got is Tampa and Oaklawn and Gulfstream, keeping the ball in the air for everybody, yeah. And LaSalle as well as Remington for the quarter horse fans, and later this afternoon and into the night. This sequence of stakes at Randwick, 9:55 for the Australian Derby, and then comes back with the Smith and the Doncaster Mile. So it's sort of like it used to be the old days with Hollywood. I want to thank Ed for being available this morning. Jay Pridman, Hammer, James Scully, Mary Rampolini, and Javier Castellano. If you missed Javi, listen for the later for the archive and the pod. Really fun as Javi recovers from his bout with COVID. Stay safe, everybody. Do the right thing. Be good to friends and family. Stay in touch with everybody, and we'll make it through. And we'll talk to you on Monday, 9 o'clock at the races here on Sirius XM. Thanks, everybody. Good weekend.
It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Have you heard about the new handicapping and betting app that is sweeping the nation? It's called First Bet, and it puts the power of AI-assisted handicapping, seamless wagering, and live HD video in the palm of your hand. Thousands of bettors have already made First Bet their way to handicap, bet, and watch more than 300 of the world's top tracks. Isn't it time for you to join them? And when you give First Bet a try today, you can cash in on a huge welcome bonus. Sign up with promo code SPORTOFKINGS, all one word, and you will get $10 just for joining, as well as a 10% rebate, up to $500 for your first bet.
30 days. With that much free cash on the line, what do you have to lose? Get started at first.com/bet. That's number1st.com/bet. And don't forget promo code SPORTOFKINGS when you sign up. And if you already have an ExpressBet account, you're way ahead of the game. Simply log into FirstBet using your username and password, and you're off to the races.
Up to 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with FirstBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal, void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.